Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something seriously useful for modern Drummond base, an immense science mid-base drive blueprint in Ableton Live 12. This is the kind of base layer that doesn't just sit underneath the track. It pushes the drop forward, locks into the amen break, and gives you that floor-shaking pressure without wrecking your sub or smearing the drums. Now, when I say mid-base, I want you to think beyond extra harmonics. In D&B, the mid-bass is the bridge between the sub, the drums, and the energy of the arrangement. If the sub is the engine, the mid-bass is the exhaust, the turbo, and the road noise all at once. It's the part that makes the drop feel alive on a club system. We're going to do this with stock Ableton tools only: Wavedouble, Operator, Saturator, Roar, Phaser Flanger, Auto Filter, Drum Bus, Envelope Follower, Utility, EQ8, Compressor, and Resampling. And the goal is very specific: a bass that reacts to the amen break swing and ghost note pocket, so it feels played with the drums instead of pasted on top of them. Let's start by setting up the session properly. Create three tracks, one for sub, one for mid bass, and one for audio resampling. Put your drums, especially the amen break, in their own drum group so you can hear the bass in context from the start. Set the tempo around 172 to 174 BPM. That's the sweet zone for this blueprint. For the bass line, keep the musical idea simple. In D&B, especially darker styles, you usually don't need a full melody. You need a phrase. Start in a key that works for the tune, something like F, F sharp, G, or a minor. Build a one bar or two bar loop with a sustained note on beat 1, a shorter stab before the snare, a gap or syncopated hit after the snare, and a pickup note in the last 8th or 16th of the bar. That phrasing matters a lot. The amen has a very specific internal swing, and if your bass respects that shape, the two start to feel like one machine. Now build the sub first. On the sub track, use Operator with a sine wave or a very clean Wavedouble basic sine. Keep it simple and strong. Turn on mono. If you want a little glide for a smoother roller feel, use a short portamento somewhere around 40 to 80 milliseconds. You want the sub to stay stable and centered, because the kick and snare need a clean foundation. Use utility if you need to enforce bass mono discipline, keeping everything below around 120 Hz centered. That's a big one. In D&B, clean low-end ownership is what makes a drop feel powerful instead of muddy. Now move to the mid-bass track, high-pass it with EQ8 around 90 to 120 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. A lot of people get this wrong. They think bigger means more low-end everywhere. In reality, bigger usually means each layer knows exactly what band it owns. Load Wavedouble and choose a harmonically rich Wavedouble. A saw style or complex table with some edge is a great starting point. Use one oscillator as your main voice, then add a second oscillator slightly detuned or at a different octave if the sound needs more thickness. Keep unison tight, usually 2 to 4 voices max. Too much unison and detune will smear the punch and make the bass vague. Keep the width controlled. This is important. Don't make the bass wide below the upper mids. If it sounds huge in mono, it will translate better after processing, and that's what you want. Add a filter inside Wavedouble and start with a low-pass 24 dB mode. The cutoff can live anywhere from about 250 to 900 Hz depending on the section. You can automate that later. A little resonance is fine if you want vocal-like bite, but don't let it whistle. At this stage, the sound should be playable in mono and already feel solid before any heavy effects. If it doesn't work dry, the processing won't save it. Now let's give it the amen science movement. This part is really about articulation. Think of the bass like a chop drum phrase. Short attack, medium decay, and a release that doesn't smear into the next hit. A good starting point is attack at 0 to 5 milliseconds, decay around 120 to 350 milliseconds, sustain low to medium depending on how much hold you want, and release around 40 to 120 milliseconds. For the most broken rhythm feel, use MIDI note lengths rather than one long held note. That gives you more control over the pocket. Try one longer note into the snare, then a short stab after the snare, then a clipped pickup note before the next kick. That kind of phrasing really connects with the amen swing and ghost notes. If you want the bass to feel a little more vocal, automate the filter so it opens slightly on the attack and closes on the tail. That makes the bass sound like it's speaking, not just droning. Now let's add grit. A common mistake is trying to do all the distortion in one huge step. That usually makes the sound brittle or flat. Instead, stack your saturation in stages. Start with saturator, keep the drive moderate, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and use soft clip if it helps. Then add roar for richer harmonic buildup and motion. If needed, add a touch of drum buss for extra punch and body. A good chain is a Q8, saturator, roar, auto filter, utility, and compressor. You don't have to use that exact order forever, but it's a strong starting point. The important area here is the upper mids, roughly 300 Hz to 2 kHz. That's where a lot of the character lives, and it's also where the amen break and snare live. So the bass and drums are going to interact there, whether you want them to or not. The goal is to make that interaction sound intentional. Now carve the pocket for the drums. Your amen break should own the transient lane. Use a Q8 on the drum group if needed, and use drum buss lightly if it helps the break punch through. You may need to clean up mud around 180 to 350 Hz if the bass is crowding the drums. If the snare needs more crack, a gentle presence bump around 2 to 5 kHz can help. On the bass, make complementary cuts if necessary. Tame nasal buildup around 700 Hz to 1.2 kHz if it's fighting the snare bark. Reduce harshness around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz if the distortion gets fizzy. And if the mix is dense, sidechain the mid bass to the kick and maybe even the snare. A good starting point for the compressor is a ratio of 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Attack around 1 to 10 milliseconds, release around 60 to 140 milliseconds, and just a few dB of gain reduction. You don't want to hear the sidechain as a pumping effect unless that's the style. You want space. Especially in darker DNB, a snare-triggered duck can create exactly the pocket you need. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is where the bass starts feeling like a real performance. Don't loop the same phrase for 16 bars and call it done. Build call and response. Bars 1 and 2 can be your main bass statement with a slightly open filter. Bars 3 and 4 can repeat the rhythm but change the ending note or open the resonance a bit more. Bars 5 and 6 can remove one hit and let the drums breathe. Then bars 7 and 8 can bring in a turnaround or a fill and reset. That kind of structure keeps the drop moving without becoming chaotic. In an 8-bar drop, the first 4 bars should teach the listener the groove. Then the second 4 should mutate it. That's the difference between a loop and a drop. If you're using vocals or vocal chops, it can function as the response in this conversation. A short spoken hit or chopped vocal phrase can sit in the same rhythmic role as a snare fill or a bass stab. In darker vocal-driven DNB, vocals often work more like percussion than like a full melody, so don't be afraid to treat them that way. Now for the advanced move, resample the bass. Route the mid-bass to your audio resample track and record a few passes, while you automate filter, distortion, and width. Then slice that recording into a new MIDI track. This is where the blueprint becomes much more powerful, because now you're not just relying on one synth patch. You've got a palette of bass hits, tails, squeals, and groans that can behave like drum edits. Slice by transient for rhythmic fragments. Manually edit some 1/16 and 1/8 chunks for precision. Reverse one or two slices if you want tension. Pitch a few slices down a semitone for darker pressure. Then place those fragments around the MN like you would place drum fills. Now the bass is speaking the same editorial language as the break. That's pure DNB logic. Next, automate movement across the arrangement, not just inside the sound. Open the filter gradually over 4 or 8 bars. Increase roar drive into the drop. Let utility width open slightly on the upper harmonics only. Send occasional bass tails to reverb or delay for transition moments. Keep the low end stable, but let the upper mid aggression evolve. A good rule of thumb, if the bass is static in the first 4 bars of the drop, make bars 6 through 8 more animated. That keeps the energy climbing without burning the hook too early. If you've got a vocal chop layer, consider processing it through the same distortion chain as the bass and using it as a rhythmic accent. That shared movement between vocal and bass can make the whole drop feel glued together. Now do a proper system check. Put utility on the bass group and periodically switch to mono. Also check the drum group in mono. If the bass disappears or changes weirdly, reduce stereo width in the source or on any widening device above the crossover zone. Keep some headroom on the master. Don't clip the bass just because it sounds exciting in headphones. And always compare the kick and snare attack against the bass in context. A pro DNB bass line should feel like it's pushing air, not just adding noise. If the snare loses authority when the bass hits, the arrangement needs work, even if the bass sounds huge soloed. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Don't make the bass too wide too early. Keep the sub mono, and only widen upper harmonics if you need to. Don't over distort everything in one go. Use stage drive. Don't ignore the MN pocket. Rewrite note lengths if the bass is stepping on the snare or ghost notes. Don't use long bass notes that smear the groove. And don't forget the resample stage. because that's where a lot of the personality comes from. Here are a few pro-level moves to try if you want the sound darker and heavier. Add tiny pitch automation on resampled fragments, maybe 10 to 25 cents, for unstable underground tension. Use a parallel distortion return so the dry bass stays readable while the send adds dirt. If the groove feels flat, place some notes slightly behind the grid, but keep the snare solid. For extra menace, automate filter resonance on only one note in a 4-bar or 8-bar phrase so it feels like a spoken accent. And if you want the bass to hit harder, sometimes the answer is not more drive. Sometimes it's shorter release, a slightly later note placement, one more syncopated pickup, or a narrower filter band.